Good morning. And so here we are again. We are continuing a conversation about called to bear fruit. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the last three of the last four workshops that I've taught have been a called to. This was called to compassion, called to peace, called to bear fruit. Because I do think there are so many things that we are, as God's people, called to do. And so that's kind of what the flavor is. And reminding you of what we're doing, it's really about understanding our impact as a Christian, specifically this concept of bearing fruit. What does it mean? How do we do it? How do we prepare for it? What's required of it? Because... you know, really, the key question is, what is different around you because you are a Christian? What is different? If you were in that same exact situation, not being a Christian, what would be different? So I'm trying to challenge you to think a little bit about that, and specifically, as I normally do, try to ask you, what role do you think God is preparing for you? And, you know, in that context, under the quickly go to the outline. We're talking about this week bearing fruit in character. And we've talked last week about bearing fruit in conduct. And next week we're going to talk about bearing fruit in converts, which is another type of fruit that we are also called to bear. And so, as we jump into bearing fruit in character, I'm going to read the first scripture, and then we're going to stop and have our opening prayer, okay? When the day of Pentecost arrived, this is from Acts 2, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared on them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now I'm jumping down to verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. This is after Peter's sermon. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises for you and for your children, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Let's have a prayer, please. Father, this morning we come to you, we call on you to teach us. Teach us through your word, teach us through the Spirit, teach us through each other. Father, thank you for the words that you have left for us, the inspiration you have left for us, the miraculous connection we have to you through the Spirit you have left for us. Help us, Father, to leverage that this morning as we think about the fruit we are called to bear for you. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Kind of an interesting place to start, talking about bearing fruit, by reminding you about not only what the Holy Spirit did when it entered those apostles, but also that there's this interesting promise. When we repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And for the sake of today, I'd like for you to think just a moment about the way that this is worded. We tend to talk about it this way. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Today, I'd like for you to think about it the other way, to say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. Because the way this is written, obviously both of those are part of and an impact of this opportunity we have. But I think it's interesting that how often and how easy it is for us to connect it to the sermon, you know, that Peter was talking about and what we did to Jesus and all of these things that happened as a people, and we made this choice, and people were cut to the heart, and obviously they wanted forgiveness. And so do we. So it's easy connection. But it's interesting here that he says, and you're going to get the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the first question I have for you here as we begin is, do you think anyone in that audience had any idea what he was talking about? The apostles did, because at least verses 1 to 4, we see that the Holy Spirit came, and right, and they were filled with the Spirit. They saw that the Spirit was doing things. It's an interesting thing to think about for a second. Steve?
I don't think they knew the full import of it, you know. But did they have an understanding that there was a spirit entity within the Godhead kind of thing? I think they understood there was something there. But more specifically, whether or not they thought that or it was just God's Spirit as part of Him, whichever way, there is a song, a paper written by David, says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And we're told about David, I think it's even about Saul, that becoming king or anointed, whatever, that God's Spirit came and rested on him. I think it was David. And he was there for the rest of his life. So God's Spirit was with David for the entirety of his life. That's recorded for them. They would have known that from reading the scriptures. So they had some understanding of the Spirit of God. So when you know, Peter said this to them, they would have had a little bit of an understanding that God's Spirit came on us. And maybe it might have sparked in their brains. Well, was it going to be anything like what happened with David? Or some of the others that God's Spirit was told was resting on them? Perhaps. But did they really understand the full impact and other impact? I don't think so.
Yeah, Steve. I don't think there's anybody online, so I'm not going to repeat things. But, you know, Steve's perspective is an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, they probably have heard something about this before. I'm not even sure in the context of David, that probably was the more educated or studied individuals that might know that, and even to know what that means. But I kind of ask the same question to us at times, because I can only speak the way I was raised, but we didn't talk a lot about the Spirit. It's interesting that we didn't talk a lot about the Spirit. And here, this sermon that we hold as kind of the beginning of everything, he says, and you're going to get this gift. At least for me, it would have been, hey, that forgiveness of sins is what I was asking for, so thank you for that. But what is this gift? I want to know what this is. This is very interesting. And I might suggest that most Christians are kind of in that same bucket. Don't know a lot about this.
And even sure. Today, if you listen to, even here, when prayers are given, the Holy Spirit is not mentioned that often. We don't thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit that often. Some people do, and it's wonderful to hear it. But
yeah.
You don't hear it that much.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easier for us, it's just easier to think about a father. Okay, and a son, those are easier. Or a brother, those are easier. But the Spirit is a harder concept. I was struck by the class that Jim was teaching on Wednesday night. He was talking about some other comparative religions and actually had an amazing speaker. That guy was great. Talking about Muslim, what is in common, what is not in common. This is different. Mike?
And I think that, yes, Peter knew more than the crowd, more than those thousands that were soon to be baptized. But even he didn't quite understand the phrase, for all who are far off. Because it's 8 chapters until Cornelius. And even then, Paul is reticent, or Peter is reticent. He doesn't want to go, but he's given the vision, he's given all these signs that the Holy Spirit is branching out to the Gentile world. And then he gets it. So here at Pentecost, he still has lessons to learn about where the Holy Spirit is going to lead.
Great point. Really interesting. I tell you where we're headed today, and you probably figured it out, right? We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. But I thought an interesting place to start talking about the fruit of the Spirit is not about the fruit, but about the Spirit. And so we'll take a couple of minutes to spend a couple minutes to go through a few things, and maybe that will inform what that fruit of the Spirit is. So in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, this scripture says, "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for the glory. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But it was written, 'No one eye has seen, or ear heard, or heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him.' These things has revealed God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of a man which is in him? And also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself not judged, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Long passage. But what do you take from this passage about the Spirit, the Spirit's relationship with us, what we do, what he does? By the way, I just got to say it. This is a lesson that Jan Swinson taught me probably 25 years ago. Did you notice how I just referred to the Spirit as he? Jan corrected me in a class one time because I referred to the Spirit as it. He said, "Don't do that. This is a personality of God, just like the Father and the Son." And I thought that was really insightful. So it's easy, though, for us to get to talk about the Spirit as it. But it's a personality of God as well. But what do you get from this scripture about the role of the Spirit for us? Jim?
Some would say God is unknowable, that he's beyond our understanding. We can't fathom or grasp anything. That's not what Paul says. Paul says, "The Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God, and the Spirit of God indwells you. So therefore, you have insights. You may not know when the end of time is coming, but you can have insights as that's one reason that we say we have this understanding that the Old Testament people did not have."
I mean, isn't that an interesting thing to think about? And when it's said here, as clear as "we impart a secret and his hidden wisdom of God," do you think of yourself as having access to a secret and hidden wisdom? If you don't, you should. Mike?
I think we focus more on the revelation side. God has been revealed. God has been made known. Rather than, as Christians, we know things that people in the world don't know, or don't understand, or can't understand. That's a little bit of a different talk than we usually use.
It is. It is a different talk, isn't it? And I'll tell you, I believe this firmly. And I don't mean it in terms of Jim is better than somebody else. I don't mean it that way. I do mean the Spirit has imparted some things to me that I understand that others cannot. And it helps me not be frustrated at times when someone else isn't understanding something. particularly, you know, related to a spiritual application of an idea or a perspective. Can I give you one example? The way that the world looks at money and the way that God looks at money are completely different. Completely different. In the last speech, whatever you want to call it, I gave on James Connection, I started with this, and I'm doing it all the time now. I'm starting it with, do you believe in the God of the loaves and the fishes? Because it's a practical example of how God thinks about things very differently than we do. But I can't tell you how many congregations I've gone to and said, can we speak on James Connection? And they'll say, we don't have money in our budget for that. I didn't ask for money in your budget for that. It's not what I was asking about. I was asking about, well, we're concerned that you come, and if you present it, then people may give money to that and not give money to other things. Can you see what the point I'm trying to make here is that that is so much a world zero-sum kind of idea, but the Spirit, God, doesn't think that way. And I think there are a myriad of things like that, that when you have the Spirit, you have the opportunity to understand that others don't. That raised a lot of hands. Since Shauna's not as often as the other two, I'm going to start with Shauna, and then I'll go to the other two.
I agree with you.
Spirit must have installed you to be able to say that.
But then that begs the question, why are we having different perspectives from the same Spirit if we did all receive this gift of the Holy Spirit? So that is a church you're talking to, right?
It was.
So that church is saying, we don't believe God can provide for us. You believe the Spirit has led you to believe that different thing about money, that God provides and that He will make things happen. Same Spirit, why are some people able to tap into what the Spirit wants them to know and others are not? Did they not receive the Spirit?
So that's one of the things the Spirit hasn't shared with me yet. No, but I mean, it is an interesting question. I get a voicemail. Yeah.
One of 10,000 different.
Exactly, and I'm expecting an email back any day. No, but if you think about that practically, I'm not sure it's different than any other thing, right? I mean, and I'm not putting Mike on the spot here, but there are things that Mike understands I will never understand. We have different gifts. We have different perspectives. We're different places in our walk. Okay, right? But what, and unfortunately, I'm not trying to control them, I'm just trying to influence you this morning, you know, to get you thinking about this just a little bit. Let me get the other two real quick, Jim.
So I think, and it does follow along with that, you know, you started off, one of the things you said, it's not that I'm better than them. The other thing that we have insight into is, it's not me, it's not my spirit. I have to give up my spirit and, you know, the worldview is humility is not the right approach. But the Spirit's view is humility is the right approach, and I have to be humble enough to give up my physical spirit and say, you know, I'm just going to trust you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have that faith and give up my uncertainty, my fears, and turn it over to you. And that goes exactly opposite of what the world says, which is be strong in yourself. Grow your spirit. Make your spirit indomitable to the world.
Thank you, Jim. In a workshop I was teaching this week, sorry for the redundancy here, but one of the things that we think a lot is that if we want a different result, if we just ask for different actions, it will get different results. So we think that results are what make the choice about our actions. And what we were exploring was that really what drives how we behave is what we believe. And what drives what we believe is what experiences we have had. Does that make sense? So I've had one set of experiences that leads me to a specific belief. That belief then directs my actions, because then I think I know what the result's going to be based on the history that I've had. And so one of the things I'm struck by, and please, I didn't mean to put down other congregations, because I respect people that are trying to be good stewards of God's money, trying to manage those things appropriately. they've just had a different experience than I have. Right? So the experience that I've had is seeing people like the widow who gives everything, or, oh man, everything, although it's not very much, and see these great things come from it. I mean, that's frankly what I see in when I look at Angel's Place. An empty rice paddy in the middle of nowhere now has 160 kids, 450 kids total have been touched by this. You know, who could have seen that? Who could have ever dreamed that? Spirit did. And then once you see those things, then that maybe helps, you know, influence a bit, I guess. It's Jeff. You're Steve, right?
Not Jeff. Yeah, I had somebody else.
That was a Jim and a Steve put together. Yeah.
Together what you're saying. I mean, I appreciate your statement about attributing, you know, inspiration from the Spirit to when you get insights. And I don't say this often enough, but when I get insights into the Word that come to me, I always attribute that to the Spirit. I don't say, oh, look how great I am. Look what I came up with. I would say, you know, thank you. I appreciate that insight you've given to me. And a specific example was when I was teaching Daniel. I mean, I started, I said, am I going to teach this class? This is a tough book to teach. And so I prayed about that, and I was given indicators that said, here's some, you know, ideas for you, and some not nudging and progress. Okay, if I'm going to do this, you're going to have to help me. Not that I was wagering
Steve, who wrestles with God. No, that's not.
But, you know, there were two specific places in there. I said, well, I have studied this, and I don't know that I am ready to teach this. But, you know, I prayed, I said, give me something here. And luckily, something came to me, and I said, well, that was from the Spirit. And there's no other way I can say it other than, no, that wasn't me. The Spirit did reach in and say, I'm going to help you with this. I'm going to give you this insight. And those two times, you know, and I was very grateful for that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have ended up with egg on my face to say, I have no idea either. But I was grateful for that.
Sure.
I fully believe that the Spirit
gave I appreciate that, Stephen. You know, as I say, most of you know, I teach all the time. And I prepare for a Bible class much differently than I prepare for other classes. And a friend of mine said, who is also a Bible teacher, said, you know, when you create your class, you have to leave room for the Spirit. That's kind of an interesting idea. And the reason I record this is because I get the advantage of the Spirit-led conversation. Right? Mike made a point earlier about Peter not understanding this even completely himself yet. Never occurred to me. That, to me, is kind of, you know, leveraging the group insight into who and what the Spirit is kind of moving among us. Let me show you a couple other quick scriptures here, because I do want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame, take two. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Interesting. Or in Galatians, let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, you are now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. People recognize this as Galatians 3. What's Galatians 3:1 say? Oh, foolish Galatians, right? That's where he starts this conversation. And I just thought it was important before we jump into talking about the fruit of the Spirit to recognize this is fruit from the Spirit. This isn't fruit from our work. This is fruit from the Spirit. And we understand these things that we're about to read about in the context of the Spirit. Steve?
Second
Timothy 1. See, the Spirit led him to tell me that, and I'll fix that next time. Thank you for that. Anything else? So let's look at the core perspective today. Remember, we're about bearing fruit. So let's look at from Galatians 5, I'm pretty sure that's right, 16 to 26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For if the desires of the flesh were against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sexuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that these who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there are no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So I'd be willing to bet that you have studied the fruits of the Spirit once a year at least for most of your Christian life, because it's talked about at least once a year for most of your Christian life. So inform me, explain this to me. Tell me about what this means. What is the fruit of the Spirit? And is it just fruit? Is it what's the impact of it being connected as fruit of the Spirit? Any thoughts or ideas about that? Someone other than Steve have a thought or a perspective on that?
Please.
Folks?
Yeah,
no. Yes, my question is, what does this mean? Yes, I simplified it for you, Leah. No, I mean seriously. What does this mean? And particularly, what does it mean that it's fruit of the Spirit? Because frankly, I think it's the next slide, maybe. Yeah, I mean I could go through, and we will not today, but we could go through lots and lots and lots of scriptures around each one of these that talk about what they are. But what I'm interested to understand is, what does it mean that, you know, in Galatians it tells us this is fruit from the Spirit, which stands directly counter to other things that he made a big list of here? Yeah?
I think it's you have that Spirit in you, and it's keeping you away from the evil of the world. And it's leading you to stop yourself before you make that decision to put something as idolatry. I'm going to idolize this, but wait a minute, I'm not in step with the Spirit, with God, and I don't want to make him mad, I don't want to sin against him, so that's going to keep me from doing that. When you take a step back and let that Spirit that's nudging you, scratching at you, hey, you're getting into a bad place here, you're not doing what you know you should.
Okay, thank you, Kim. So the idea being that because we are trying to be in step with the Spirit may be sharing those insights and wisdom with us that may help us keep away from some of these things. Good point. Other, Shauna?
A couple things. I mean, first, these are attributes of God himself. So, Spirit, God is Spirit, and this is the Spirit of God, and he is love, and he is joy, and he is peace, he is all these things. And so, when that's in us, those are the things that should be coming out. But I know, I think something that I've often tried to do in past years and that sort of thing, seasons of life, is like kind of say, all right, I'm going to focus on this Spirit this week, or I'm going to, you know, maybe I'll take a month and like focus on a Spirit fruit every day. Today I'm going to be gentle, and tomorrow I'm going to be self-controlled, and things like that. And I do not think it works like that. I think that when the Spirit of God is living in us, I think those are the attributes of God that come out naturally. Those are the attributes of the Spirit that will move themselves. But I think that we have to submit, like you were saying, Jim, like we have to actually put yourself aside. Struggling with drunkenness, Spirit isn't even having to think about working on that with me. But I'm working on other things, and Spirit's working in me those things. So, you know, those are kind of, it's not like these specific things will come out, it's that all of these things the Spirit is will be working in you.
Okay, good. Thank you. John? Oh, no doubt. I mean, I think this, to understand the Spirit. Thank you. Steve?
So, this isn't me. I'm going to repeat something I heard someone else say because I thought it was a thing. I don't remember who else this was recently. It might even been you. Don't be offended if I.
I won't be offended, Steve. Go ahead.
Didn't remember it was you. But somebody brought up the idea that we've always thought of this as what grows in me. And the challenge was, what if the reference here is that it's what we give to other people? And that, I found that to be a challenging insight. Speaking of insights, I thought, I heard that said, well, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not that it discounts growing in me, but isn't it a more interesting thing that fruit is generated through me in other people because I share these things that are in me with other people.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, if you look at these, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, try to do those in your room by yourself. You just cannot. Now, I mean, you can love yourself more, I guess, and you can have peace with yourself. But that's one of the things, to Steve's point, that struck me when I read this, is that these are, by definition, things that go out of me. And actually, most of the things in the upper list are also things that go out of me as well. I remember our first session, we talked about being recognized by our fruit, right? So it's the things that I produce. But I think it is an important thing for Christians to be reminded that our journey is, this is hard to say it this way, our journey's not about us. We just happen to be someone that God is using to make the journey to others. And there to use to be the journey to others, to be the journey to others. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, I think Christendom in general has this view that it's about us being better people for us. I'm not sure that's what the Spirit's intent was. Jim? Oh, sorry.
These are behaviors which are an expression of the Spirit that resides in us. And Paul says, the Spirit's war within me, but the one that wins the war is what I show to the world. To Shauna's point, how do we know God that these are attributes of God? Because that's how he behaved. He showed patience.
Yes.
He showed kindness.
Exactly.
He showed love.
Yes. Yes.
That's how we know we're attributes of God. And
yes.
Spirit.
Yes. Yeah, Jim makes such a great point, because I can remember in college, in a religious studies class that I took at West Virginia University, that there was another guy in class, and he and I were kind of really into the content, so we got together and we were discussing, right? And what our discussion became was a theological debate. Okay, there's value and there's interest in that. But what struck me was we just butted heads until we finally got to the point between the two of us where we said, let's look at the experiences that God has shown us to be able to help shape what our faith should be. And which is a very different approach than, let me show you scripture and verse. Scripture and verse is very valuable because it points to the experience. But when we go out and try to teach somebody their, when we try to make God attractive to somebody, the way we do that is to show them the experience that we have had and that others have had with God. Back to the point of, if I want to change your behavior, I need to show you an experience that you understand. Oh, look, these are the things, the way that my life has been blessed. These are the things that it's done for me. These are the ways that it's done for me. And so that's the other thing, to Jim's point, that kind of strikes me in this, is that this is demonstrated. We know this because we see examples of this. The other thing I'd like you to think about for a minute that truthfully did not occur to me until a few minutes ago is that maybe our task here isn't to bring these things into our life. It's to get the dirt away from them so that they come out of our life, because they're already sown there, right? When we have a gift of the Holy Spirit, we have been given all of these things through the Spirit. Our challenge, to Jim's, he used the term earlier, struggle, the struggle we read about a couple scriptures ago, is allowing all of the thorns and the things that are in the way of that, getting them out of the way. I hadn't really thought about it this way before, but let me at least suggest it to you that at least the way I think about it is, how can I build love in my life? How can I build patience in my life? How can I build kindness in my life? Maybe what I should be saying is, how do I get the things in my life out that are stopping me from the natural love that God has put in my heart because of His Spirit? How do I get things out of the way? That's a very different way of thinking about things. It's like, how do I, I see drunkenness, let's use that as an example. I see drunkenness as something that maybe is getting in the way of these other things. So can I take that out of my life for that reason, so that these things can be demonstrated? Because they're already there. People will say, I don't have any self-control. If the Spirit of God is in you, you have self-control. You may not yet have allowed it to bloom the way it should, but it is there because He put it there because He is there. Does that make sense, Shauna?
It reminds me of the soil and the parable that Jesus told, and the cares of the world that choke it out of you.
Yes. Yes.
And other things.
Yes.
Just,
yeah, and in that parable, that same seed was sown everywhere. It was the same seed. It was the nurturing of the soil that made the difference. Sharon.
He says it right there. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have the crucified, put it to death, so that it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
That you are not looking into those directions that are all named there, there's probably others.
Right. Right.
But, you know,
yeah.
It's a growing thing as we come through our lives with Christ. And I know that I've recently been praying about something and praying. And I thought the other day, why am I still worrying over this if I have trust? And you know, it's something that we as humans, we seem to be always regurgitating that worry in our lives. And I just thought the other day, wait a minute, I've got to stop this. He'll take care of it.
Hmm. Interesting point. Thank you. So let me just go back and summarize this real quick and think. I mean, again, 40 plus years I've been a Christian, and I've always, you know, look at this and say, okay, I got to stop these things and do these things. I got to figure out how to do these things. Now, what I'm starting to understand, perhaps because it is the fruit of the Spirit, is that these things, because God lives in me through the Spirit, are there. I just got to get out of the way. That is, to me, that's very empowering. I don't know if that means anything to you. Maybe it's just, you know, maybe I'm splitting hairs in your mind, or it's just semantics. But to me, that's much easier than trying to defend against all these things. I'm just going to try to push them out of the way and let this stuff grow. Jim?
So I wanted to look at one of these in particular and hear what people think. Because we talk about Bob Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and that's all what I express to you. I wonder when we get to faithfulness if we don't always say, well, oh, that's about our faith, that's about God.
Hmm.
But there's no other one of those up there that is just about God. Every single one of those others is not like you. And so I'll be interested.
I appreciate that, because I did a little, I was thinking about that as well. Ideas? Fruit of faithfulness? Mike?
I've been the recipient of the faithfulness of others over and over and over again. You know, just being surrounded by people that clearly the Spirit is working that fruit in their lives, because they were there for us, they were helping us. Stepped into that void,
that
gap. So, I see.
Others? Let me share with you quickly this. I found this book, and I bought it a while ago, The Fruits of the Spirit, 48 Bible Studies for Individual and Groups. And we're going to start next week, and we're going to go through 48 of these. No. But what this author did... And you got it on tape too, don't you? I know. But to Jim's point, one of the things I noticed as I was just briefing through this was when they were talking about faithfulness, they have six chapters on this. And the six chapters are about a commitment to be there, using Ruth as an example, a willingness to forgive from Hosea, a promise to support from Joshua, honoring our commitments from Malachi, fulfilling our responsibilities, and then the last one is the rewards of faithfulness, primarily from Proverbs. Interesting way to think about that, isn't it? It's not just our internal faith built, but it may be the commitments that we keep, the forgiveness that we give, the support that we provide, and fulfilling the responsibilities that we have, one of which is to bear fruit. As I mentioned, there are lots of resources here for each of these, and this is the easy part of this conversation, to be very honest. I think the harder part is to understand and be willing to accept that God has already won this one too. You know, one of the great things about the book of Revelation is we get to see the end. Well, one of the great things about the fruit of the Spirit and understanding who the Spirit is we get to see the end of these things as well. They're already in us. Our challenge is to move the other stuff out of the way for that. So as I typically do each week, I give you a few questions to think about as you kind of go through the week. The first one is, what secret wisdom has God granted you? Yours may be different than mine. Maybe Mickey has insight. I'm confident this is true, actually. Mickey has insights into things I don't understand. Not just because he had a different life experience and he had a different job than I did and do and things like that. It's because the Spirit is using him in a different way. One of the things that's really interesting about the team that works on the James Connection stuff, and Ann and I were talking about this yesterday, is that everybody on that group has very different gifts. You know, some gifts are for one thing, some gifts are for something else, some gifts are for administration, some gifts are for fundraising, some gifts are for, you know, organization. And that is the power of a group like that. It's what 1 Corinthians talks about when having all things in common, I believe. But I ask you, what's the secret wisdom God has granted to you and to what end? Yeah. Are you fanning the flame of God in your life, looking for leveraging the gift and the power, the strength, the wisdom, the love, joy, peace, patience that comes from that Spirit? How are you cultivating that Spirit that has already been planted, has already growing in you? How are you cultivating that? To me, that's a different concept, cultivating love, than trying to figure out how to learn to love. Love has been put in me because of who God is and what he's done through his Son. And then lastly, how are you sharing the fruits of the Spirit that are growing within you? That's the outward kind of connection again. How are you doing that? How are you doing that? So next week, we're going to talk about bearing fruit in converts. And you, I'm sure, recognize Mark 16:15. Go into all the world, right? So that's where we're going to start. We're going to talk about what fruits we bear there. Any last comments or questions or emotional outbursts? Let's have a quick word of prayer then, please. Father, thank you for allowing the Spirit to move among us today to teach us, to help us learn from you. As we look at these fruit, Father, we convinced that you have already placed them in our hearts. You've already placed self-control. You've already placed gentleness in us. Help us, Father, to remove the things in their way, to let you shine. In Jesus' name, amen.